Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 70 of the Van Hemlock Podcast, part of the Virgin Worlds Collective.
Folks,
hello.
Yep,
it's us again.
We're back with Operation Cheap Seats.
Hey, well done.
And
also some Xbox Live indie games.
Yeah,
good stuff. Shall we crack straight on with then?
Yeah, you get started.
Okie dokie. So this last fortnight, I've been playing Pirates of the Burning Sea.
Huzzah!
The piratey themed MMO by Flying Lab Software.
A game you've wanted to try for a while now.
I was very excited about it when I was doing the pre-hypey, it was on its way type stage. You know, I thought, oh, finally, a game about pirates. How awesome will that be?
So you did the 3-year rule.
The three. Yes, I sort of, I don't know, I maybe saw another shiny or something and never really got around to it. So fast forward to today when I'm casting about for another thing to try after last Fortnite's game. And there it is in the station launcher. Very easy to get hold of. I do like the station launcher, actually. I mean, it's a bit of a hog. It's one of those ones where when you close it, it doesn't close. You have to manually exit it. I don't like those. But it'll sit in the system tray and try and keep all its little games up to date and so on. It'll be there in the big list with a try now button. It'll downloads itself from Sony. No need to go to File Planet, all that. So Flying Labs Software made it, but Sony are publishing it and sort of handling the business side of it all for them. So it's all integrated into the launcher and so on. Quite easy to get at. Yeah, download that. Oh, I can't even remember because they don't show you how big they are. So you have to just push the button, let it get on with it, really. 14-day trial. It pops up a huge box when you first log in saying things you can't do as a trial person, and it's the usual standard kind of thing, like you can't send unsolicited tells, you can't speak on broadcast chats, that kind of thing.
You can't sell gold.
You can't sell gold, yeah. But despite that, one of the first things I saw when I logged in was a bit of gold spam. So.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
The Bloom spam.
Well, quite. Yeah, so it's set on the Caribbean in the age of the Spanish main
Caribbean.
Caribbean, yes, however you want to pronounce it. I don't know what time period it is. You know a bit about history. Is it 1700s, that kind of time scale? The heady days of the Spanish main, the colonisation of the Caribbean.
That was around then, I think. I'm not really that bit
too.
Of history. Medieval, I'm solid. Anything after that gets a bit fuzzy.
It's set at some point between the discovery of the New World and the Victorian era, let's put it that way. But, so you turn up on the server, you pick your character, customization, all of that sort of thing. Pick from four playable nations. There's the French, the English, and the Spanish, and pirates. Yes, have a nation of their own, sort of. Roll up your character customization and away you go.
How busy was the French side?
I'll start on my list, actually. That's number one point there. Look, got me bullet points. So, five servers plus one test, one EU. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, six servers in total. Number. One of them was a test server, which was listed in the main server selection. So, presumably, you don't need another client if you're so inclined as to help test and all the rest of it. But only one EU one, which is strange, really, considering most of the protagonists are Europeans.
Yeah. Europeans who want to forget dwindling empires they have.
Oh, here we go. Don't get me started on empire. Yeah, predictably enough, the French and the English were the medium population sides. The Spanish
were low. Why predictably were the French?
I don't know. Perhaps there's not that many Spanish online gamers. Be right in if you are one. I'd be fascinated to hear from you. But
isn't it the anniversary of Trafalgar or something?
I have no idea. Yeah. And the pirates was also low population.
How?
I know. Well, this is the thing. I was a bit torn when I was first creating the character because I thought, oh, great, a game where I can be a pirate. Awesome. And then I thought, a game where I can be British. Brilliant. And that just so rarely ever happens in MMOs for me.
It's true, isn't it?
You just almost never get to pick British. But then I suppose you don't often get to pick American in an MMO either, really. So it's not really a sides thing. But it's just the historical context of it all. So I thought, no, I'll go with the British. I'm the very model of a modern British officer and all of that. I thought, I'll go for that. Character customization, very good. I've written down impressive beards.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of fantastic facial hair customization options. Huge, spiky, outy beards and all the rest of it. Interestingly, it's It sort of follows the City of Heroes kind of model for character customization. The whole dressing up box is there to begin with, and it seems that you can unlock extra costume parts as you work your way through particular missions for particular storylines and so on. And I was quite impressed with how you can do this whenever you like. There is no tailor shop, there is no cost to respec. You don't buy clothes from I don't know, sort of pirate milliners or whatever. It's all just there in the character window. You just click customize it.
Concentrate really hard and poof!
Yeah, exactly. At any time, you can completely change your outfit to any other outfit you like, which is all quite... I don't think I'd ever seen that before, the sort of scale of customization. But then bear in mind, you are mostly a ship in this game. It's that sort of... Eve type of thing. Let's see what else we've got written down here. Women in 17th century Navy. Yeah, that was a bit strange.
There were women in the 17th century Navy.
Really?
Yes. They weren't...
Widespread? Were they all dressed up as boys?
No, there were loads of women.
Really?
Yes. Powder monkeys and things like that.
Perhaps I've been given
a bad... They used to live
on
board. They could have children on board as well. They could have families on board. But they didn't have any rank. They were never mentioned in any official records.
Well, exactly.
And
tend not to show up in films about the Navy.
Yeah, they never, ever got anywhere below the lowest ranks.
Hmm, interesting. Because obviously...
The cabin boy was...
Being a modern MMO and everything, you've got, women are at least as good as men in all things type philosophy to it. And that's fine, and I do approve of it. But it just seemed a bit jarring in the historical context that was set, but then possibly I've been misinformed by culture and media.
There was absolutely no way for a woman to advance.
Tend not
the
to
Navy.
Have women admirals.
No,
they
were just there for the really, really mundane jobs.
Mm, I see. But there's nothing to stop you being male or female, pirates or British or Navy or anything. Interesting set of class choices.
There may be women pirates, actually.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, anyway.
But yeah, for starters, you can only be one side per server. Because of the sort of PvP-centric nature of some of the mid-to-end gameplay, that makes sense. So basically, I didn't get to try a pirate. But I got the British there. There was three different classes available. You got naval officer, and then there's privateer.
Yeah.
Which presumably is your sort of covert operating slightly outside the law to damage international rivals and so on. And then there was free trader, which as far as I could tell was some kind of exclusive trade skill economy based class.
Do it really well, you end up with the East India Company.
Well, quite, yeah. It's you sort of plantations and all the rest of it. I'll come back to that as we go. But couldn't really work out what the functional difference was between them from the descriptions provided. I just went with naval officer because that sounded cool. But not quite clear on the distinctions between them, sort of, and certainly not from the information initially provided.
So could you actually get on the American servers if you wanted?
They're all in the same list.
Yeah.
I didn't see anywhere to connect. There was one that had brackets EU at the end, so presumably no problem with swapping between. So if you wanted to be a pirate, you could maintain a second character on a different server. That'd be no problem at all. But you couldn't obviously then send tells about what your fleet's up to the enemy and that kind of thing, which is, I think, an important thing. Any game where PvP is at all significant and based on factions, you don't want people jumping left and right.
Oh, definitely.
Every 5 minutes. Let's see then, what have we got? Instant gold spam. Yeah. I mean, you've got a series of regional chats and side chats and all the rest of it going on in the chat window. And one of the first things I saw was, come to this website for cheap gold and all the rest of it. And I just thought, yeah, here we go, same old, same old. Despite me being absolutely hobbled as a trial account person. I mean, you can only send mail to people on your friends list, all this sort of thing. Basically, just mechanisms designed to stop people throwing away accounts.
Yeah.
Just to advertise gold spam. You see it in every game, and it's a shame, because it can significantly crimp a brand new player's trial experience if they're not allowed to group. I mean, in these games you often see people asking for a real player to group two friends who are both on trial accounts together.
Okay, then the real player can...
Then the real player buggers off, and you've got a party that can then play together. But I think many games, I can't remember if this one does or not, but they will just prevent you from starting a group.
Yeah.
Because, that's suddenly you're in a group and there goes the gold spam. It's just a real shame as to what significant damage to trial gameplay that gold spammers do and have done. And it can really sort of distort the trial experience, I think. Still, I can't think of a way around it. And a game that doesn't do this, you soon notice the gold spam, and that can drive people away as well. It's a scourge. It's a blight. We've got free character customization at any time. Yep. I mean, yeah, so you open up your portrait window, click the button, and suddenly I've decided I want a different beard today, and poomph, there it goes. So it's good. I mean, I did some of the naval storylines.
Even if you're a woman?
Even if you're a woman. No, I don't know what the women's facial hair options were like. I picked a man, strangely enough.
Really?
I know. it just seemed wrong to be a woman in the British Navy in the 1700s to me, but perhaps I'm just old-fashioned and
historically
prejudiced.
Supporting sexism.
Absolutely. I'm a big, great big sexist to me. But yes, I have a cross-dressing fetish thing going on, and pretty much every game I play, I'll roll a female character, and I don't know why, but for some reason it just seemed to make more sense to roll a man in this one. So I didn't see what the women's
beards
were like.
It was the opportunity of a Brian Blessed beard, wasn't it?
It was the opportunity. I did have quite a monumental goatee going on there, actually. It was pretty good. Had the big hat and everything. I was basically trying to model myself on Commodore Norrington from Pirates of the Caribbean, which I'd only seen the previous fortnight ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was trying to get the outfit looking right and everything. One of the storyline naval officer missions gave you a midshipman's coat as a reward, and that just unlocks another piece in the costume editing thing. So presumably that works its way all the way up.
You get the Red Admiral's uniform with a little flap that opens at the front.
Absolutely, all of that.
Actually, I'm thinking of the one from Star Trek.
No, because all the red people, that's the Marines, isn't it? I was a Navy officer, yeah. I went with the blue outfits. Yeah, it all seemed quite... I don't know about historically accurate. It was certainly a believable kind of world. You start off in the port and you're running around talking to people, and there's all these, like, people swaggering around the streets or playing dice in the corner or the little guys with fiddles and
it's
things.
It's scary, really, when you know that Lord of the Rings is going to get more complaints about being historically inaccurate than this game is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I wasn't there in my own context of things like Master and Commander, you know, and of course Pirates of the Caribbean, but it seemed a believable and an interesting little world. You start off in, I think, Port Jenny or something like that. They're all based on actual towns around the Caribbean at the time, and the world map shows you the quite a familiar map. If you played any game about pirates, you'll see this great big Caribbean map with the curve with all the islands.
Yeah.
The very familiar town names. Yeah, and off you go. Let's see, we've got hotkeys don't work. Yeah, this was strange. You got hotkey combat, you got bars, you got two different types of bars for ship combat and the avatar sword fighting stuff. And for some reason, the number keys weren't working. I don't know why, the very first time I played. And that really did sort of throw me, because it made the game more or less unplayable initially. I don't know what or why. So perhaps that's a known issue or something. And the second and subsequent sessions I played, the hotkeys were working, so I don't know about that. Also, I logged in to find a notice saying, please don't use the auction house until further notice. And I thought, oh, hello, what's that about? So, you know, it was starting to build up an impression of a game that's a little bit wonky, even after however long. And I don't know why, but I don't know if perhaps I logged in at a bad time or I've just got an unfortunate combination of
or the
little
Tim
things.
Effect.
The Tim effect, perhaps. So let's see. Map story instances. I'm not quite sure what I meant by that.
Do you mean that there were instances for story bits on?
Yeah,
bits
there
on
was
the
a lot of instancing in this game, particularly for specific quests. Also, as far as I can tell, open sea combat, whenever you engage somebody, it then moves to a much greater scale, the map, where the ships are larger and the area is smaller and you can actually start the manoeuvring and firing and so on. And I was just wondering how this all works in a group context and in a pickup context. I mean, I was scootering about the Caribbean, seeing pairs of ships with little red rings around them, and you'd mouse over it, and it would say, you cannot join this battle, and underneath a list of how many players, how many NPCs on each side, and who was fighting, and so on. They seemed locked. I don't know whether that was to do with the PvP flag, which I didn't bother turning on in my time there. But certainly a lot of the quests send you off into little private instances of sea where you do your ship fighting. A lot of the sword fighting, you'll go in instance doorways. It's a very heavily instance game. Not quite to the extent of Guild Wars or something like that, but, I mean, there are areas of common shared cohabitation, I suppose, where you will see other players. But those seem quite few and far between because of the size of the map, the size of the overall open sea area world map. The travel in the game takes quite a while. And, yeah, I was just not really seeing a lot of other people in general, partly because of the nature of the instance gameplay meant that I was busy doing stuff on my own, but also just generally around the ports and in the open sea areas. There wasn't, I don't know, I never saw perhaps more than three people in one place at one time.
Mm.
So I don't know whether that's because the game just isn't as popular as it could be, or something about the design well, just keeps everyone apart and doing their own thing. Maybe it is one of these where you have to join a guild straight away and get involved. I don't know. Didn't seem to be much in the way of pickup group requests or shouts or that kind of thing. I think largely because people had either gotten used to working on their own or just were busy off with friends already. Hard to say. Perhaps part of the trial account restrictions were hiding some of it from me. Let's see. We've got the swashbuckling, button mashing. Yes. Now, right.
Did it buckle your swashes?
Not really, no. My swashes were left distinctly unbuckled, which is a shame. Right, you've got two basic modes of gameplay. You've got the ship combat and the avatar combat. Start off with the avatar combat then. It's just basically you with your sword, giving it all the clack, 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 fencing away. There's like,
you fight like a cow.
I would have been more effective using Monkey Island taunts, I think. You've got three schools of fighting, and there's fencing, there's Florentine style, and there's dirty fighting. I think Florentine's like sword and dagger, and dirty fighting's like throwing sand in their faces and kicking them in their nuts and things. And the fencing is, I also had a pistol, which I was occasionally just firing into melee and stuff. The thing is, you've got all these various different hotkeys, and it seemed like normal hotkey combat, normal MMO kind of thing. I thought, here we go, I know what I'm doing here. Turns out I really didn't know what I was doing here at all. Typically the fights, I mean, some of them are on land in bars and so on, but typically you'll be on a boat deck and you'll be at one end, enemy captains at the other end. And you get five waves of reinforcements, which you can call in whenever you choose. Yeah. And I saw no point at all to not calling them all in at the start. Perhaps that was bad. Perhaps I was doing it wrong. He calls them in.
And then you have to put towers down, and as the reinforcements go past the towers...
No. I mean, I'd have preferred a tower defence minigame, no. But basically, so there'll be three of them, including a captain, three or four of them. Three or four of me... Well, me and sort of three marine types coming in with me. And we'd all just charge at each other. And then it wasn't actually fluid moving about and just swiping at people who come near you and all the rest of it, like in a normal MMO. It seemed like they were very suddenly moving to particular positions, which I wonder was to do with specific one-to-one fights going on within the melee. I couldn't get my head around what was going on. And then sometimes their like rings would appear around their feet, which I think was some sort of reactive gameplay. I'd have to try and block at this point because they were about to slash at me or something. I really don't know what was going on, to be honest. I found the avatar combat immensely baffling, really. And you know, I've played a few MMOs, and yes, I know most of them are WoW clones or WoW variants of some description, but this here, it looked a lot like normal MMO combat, but clearly wasn't, and I couldn't get my head around what was going on and why, and I just kept losing all the time. Yeah. And it was really, really off-putting. You know, here I am, this heroic, dashing captain with my fencing and my pistol and my fantastic hat, and just, yeah, routinely getting stabbed and knocked about by presumably newbie pirates that I was boarding and trying to... So basically I ended up trying to avoid boarding combat like the plague because I hated it, which then sort of had a knock-on effect to the ship combat. And I don't know if it's possible to get by without doing any fencing at all, or whether this is a part of the game you're just going to have to get good at or not bother with. I don't know how optional it all was. Obviously, you get better loot if you've managed to board and capture a ship than if you just sink it. But at the same time, when you weren't actually sinking ships in the ship combat. You were basically making the crew abandon them. So there was always loot to be had. So I just wonder how much of the sword play is necessary or indeed wanted at all. Perhaps people who do play it and do, for whom it does click, get a lot out of it. Perhaps it is a lot of fun, but I was having none of it, really. It was just annoying me. So the other gameplay core mode is your ship-to-ship combat. And then this was weird. This sort of... It looked like two sailing ships fighting each other with cannons, you know, like on all the films, trying to put alongside, open fire, rah, boom. And there was even a mode of shot called Langrage that you can load your cannons with, which literally is cutlery, like that bit in Pirates of the Caribbean, which is awesome. That was a sort of anti-personnel shot designed to clear the decks. But so there was quite a tactical element to this, but I just kept thinking, this is a bit like Eve. It really did seem like Eve ship-to-ship combat, where you're orbiting at and then trying to work out which damage-type weapons to load the guns with, and then just basically pounding away at each other until someone blows up or runs away.
Is that a bad thing?
I don't know. I mean, I quite like Eve's combat after a fashion. I mean, it can be a bit dull sometimes, even in the really hectic Agent 4 missions. It is still essentially a matter of keeping at range and letting them have it. This was further complicated by wind direction. Then I just got really, really frustrated with the trying to manoeuvre to get to this enemy ship, and then just suddenly swinging across the red section on your little wind compass that's around the ship, and just have the whole thing stall, and then have him come round again. I wonder if this is just me not understanding it properly, or whether it is.
You try tacking.
I tried tacking, yeah, but then that just ends up with me on the other side of the map, and him getting away, or him trying to get round me behind, and I don't know. Again, this is, I'm prepared to admit this could just be me being a bit thick and not really getting it, but I found the ship combat really quite frustrating as opposed to baffling. I found myself just wanting to just get rid of the bloody rigging and masts and stuff and put a steam boiler in, you know. And I can see why modern ships in a contemporary navy don't use sails, yeah. which are great if you're going east, but not if you're going west, you know, that kind of thing.
Did you try turning your engine on?
Was there an engine?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah,
or oars. Slave galley. That would have worked. Row, you scurvy dogs. No, none of that. You just have to make do with the sails. I mean, you can raise and lower the sails to control the speed, and you've got a rudder to turn. You got fixed emplacement, fixed gun arc down each side. I mean, that was all very well done. It was quite...
Doesn't it just turn into a turning battle, though?
Very much, yes. Yes, very literally a turning battle. You have to try and keep making sure that you're in the right place so that your guns, which are fixed sideways arced ones... I mean, I see why all Eve's guns are on turrets.
Yeah.
Why they're not? You don't have literal fixed broadsides, because it would be absolute nightmare to try and angle yourself to try and fire on people. And yeah... And also the ships, even the newbie ships, and my own dinky newbie ship, seem to have a phenomenal amount of hit points. It just took a really long time to get any damage done to what were presumably newbie enemy ships. The combat was very... It just felt very slow. And I don't know. I think that, you know, there will be an appreciation for that. Some people will like it. Because, I mean, I've often thought that Eve ship combat was too fast.
Yeah.
It's all over too quickly. But this, it seems to have gone too far the other way.
I think I know what you mean.
You're sort of pounding away and pounding away and pounding away. And you're sort of, you know, 20 minutes later, you're still dealing with these two newbie frigates or whatever.
It reminds me of the review, well, the game I played last week, which was IL2.
Mm.
Which the combat in that was far too slow as well, the PvP.
Yeah, I remember you saying, yeah, you're shooting at people and not really seeing much impact.
Yeah.
I don't know, am I using the wrong guns? Should I be at a different range? Have I got the right ammo? You know, and you've got chain shot, bar shot, grape shot, heavy shot, stone boulders, knives and forks.
You have the ones which are the two bits joined by a chain.
Yeah, chain shot. Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, each ship has about 8 different health bars, and I was starting to get a bit of the old Star Wars Galaxy's ham system problem coming in. Yeah, exactly. You can aim at the crew with your grape shot or your spoons and whatever, and that will basically lower this crew bar. But the crew bar seems to regenerate somehow.
They're surgeons.
Well, they either have surgeons or they're having children very quickly.
It's also possible. We're going to die. What do we do? I know.
The crew just wouldn't stay dead, because I wanted to try and take these ships intact, because I figured they'd be worth more.
You take the sails first, kill their propulsion.
Nah, that should have been the plan. Yeah, okay, so you can attack the crew with your grape shot, and you've got this red bar that sort of regenerates... And I just couldn't work out where these extra crew were coming from. They were just getting better.
In the Battle of Trafalgar, the victory, something like 70% of the injured men were returned to duty.
Right, sort of glancing blows, that kind of thing. Get it back up, your scurvy dog.
Yeah.
Quickly lop a leg off, give them a peg leg, and away you go.
Yeah. No, there was only 12 amputations in it.
Right.
Of them, I think 10 survived.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps it is trying to be a historically accurate simulation in some degree, but I just question whether that's actually much fun, really. You can attack the sails and rigging. That's a blue bar, but again, that goes up, presumably people repairing the sails and so on. But so you use your chain shot and whatever for trying to strip the masts and spars and everything. And that's quite useful, because if you can take the sails down, then they slow down and it becomes much easier to stop all this stupid wind compass shenanigans. Then you got guns. They got a guns complement on board. If you can knock that down, they can't shoot back. But I couldn't work out which ammo was designed to specifically deal with that. Probably none of it. Perhaps that seemed to just be incidental damage.
The guns would be the damage that you fired to blow out the side of the hull.
Yeah, so just the standard round shot, I think. So you've got those. Then the ship itself has action points, which power a whole bunch of special attacks. These were more in the nature of stances. There weren't many special attacks that have cooldowns. It was more you can choose to emphasise speed, turning, or gunnery, or whatever, that kind of thing. You could sort of enact a self-heal repairs special, and that would use up all your action points, which would then recharge. So that helped a bit, because I was just totally incapable of staying out of their guns, you know?
Of course.
Yeah, because I'm just not very good, presumably, but but also my guns, if my guns can hit them, their guns can hit me, you know, because of the design of the ships. Why not put bloody great cannons on the front? Although, to be fair, my newbie ship had two swivels. I had three fixed guns down each side, 10-pound cannons, 6-pound cannons, something like that, and two things called swivels on the front, which was basically sort of, I don't know, about 2-3 foot long guns that were mounted on the rail that would just fire quite small balls but would still do some persistent damage, and those could hit in any angle as long as you're in range. So that was some small mercy.
Did you remember not to fire all your broadside at the same time?
Probably not. I just mashed space to fire all guns. Presumably, I don't know, I don't even know if you could actually fire one.
I don't know,
but
you're meant to ripple them, otherwise your boat falls over.
And didn't see that happen, thankfully. But then your ship itself has 4 arcs of armour hit points. So it is directional combat is important.
Yeah.
If you're running out of armour on one side, turn around and you've got a fresh set of armour. And then it has structure right in the middle. And I just really couldn't work out how to actually go about killing these things. It seemed quite some combination of all of these stats, or did you just have to try and get to the structure and destroy all that?
Didn't take out the structure, probably.
Well, that would do it, I suppose, yeah. So, and I don't know, it just felt really quite cumbersome. And there was one sort of story mission where I was joining a big engagement in progress. They're all NPCs, and I turn up to try and help. And that was actually quite good. It felt really cinematic in a way, because there was like 12 of them and 12 of our lot, and they're all at various distances across this lark. The instances are quite large.
Yeah.
You see a lot of sails in the distance firing away at each other and sort of deciding which clump to engage in, then all of our lot would go off and help the next lot as we win and so on. So it did sort of feel quite cinematic, but also very, very long. I think I might have spent about 45 minutes to an hour doing that one mission, just sort of working my way around and exchanging cannonballs until eventually we got the job done. And presumably you can speed that up a bit if you can get close enough and grapple. I think you're below 60% speed and travelling parallel, you can have a go at boarding.
Yeah.
And then it switches to the hated swordplay game that I really didn't enjoy at all. It's a stat-based game. I got to about level 9, I think. I don't know. Every time you level, you're allowed to pick one new power. So it's very much like City of Heroes in that regard. I didn't see many concrete stats that actually went up as I levelled it. All I got to do was pick a new ability each time. And it alternates between a ship ability and a sword fight ability, and you'll have one each time. So presumably you can spec your way up along a particular template, all this, that and the other, pick the decent skills that go with particular play styles and so on. But a lot of them seemed very baffling to me. The descriptions were as good as you can fit in a tooltip, but it was all really quite alien concepts, I suppose. It was nothing I'd seen in any other MMO, really. So I'm thinking that anyone who's intending to play this game does a lot of research on boards and forums and guides and websites.
Usually you love the number game.
Well, usually I do, but there was the cheap seats effect. I know I'm not going to be here after 14 days. Why should I bother learning all these arcane stats about gunnery and tonnage and displacement and so on? But, I mean, there is a lot of stats to go with each boat, and I imagine they're all quite relevant and useful and make up that, almost Eve-like experience, I suppose. I mean, that's the nearest I was thinking when I was, because I do make comparisons. I'm always sort of thinking, well, what's this like? This is like such and such. And I think the ship combat certainly felt a lot like Eve. The stats, the prep, the positioning, the exchanging of blows and so on. But you got this two-dimensional thing, obviously. But then most Eve combat happens two-dimensionally as well, typically. Very few Eve fights go into full 3D, with people arcing way up above you and so on. Usually it's all horizontal.
Well, the whole idea of three-dimensional combat is a bit rubbish, really, because it's only ever a 2D plane between you and the guy you're fighting.
It's just not galactic horizontal. It'll be based on where you and it are. So that was all quite familiar. I mean, the wind compass adds a whole new dimension to it, though, and clearly I just wasn't... I mean, sort of at a rational level, I was understanding, yes, you can't sail directly into the wind with sails. That's not going to work. But there's just like a sort of 10-degree arc sort of bisecting that where, the ship will just stall. And if that happens when you're trying to get a cannon lined up, you're screwed, really, because they're going to start pummeling at you and you can't fire back. So
shouldn't have to loosen the sails or something when you
go through that? I don't know. Just an outboard, slave rowers, break out the sweeps, whatever, just something. Because I've just found the whole wind thing really annoying.
So your biggest problem with this game was, in fact, nature?
Yes. I mean, I fully admit that it's good, that it's a realistic simulation of sorts, but I don't know. I just wondered if it needed to be quite so annoyingly real. I mean, the open sea, you see, those are individual instance naval engagements, you have an open sea section, which is basically the zoomed out map.
Yeah.
And that's where everyone can be seen and everyone is. And you can actually sail directly into the wind on that, because it's probably assuming that on a micro level you're tacking as required. So your speed slows, but you can still make useful headway when heading directly into the wind. So you sort of zoom in about the Caribbean, and that was all right. I mean, it looks great. The water's fantastic, the skies, the islands, the ships are really very well detailed. Graphically, it's a very good game. You know, it flows along at a good old rate, no system problems I had at all. I mean, it's just actually trying to play the thing was quite a headache for me. let's see, back to my list then. EU, lots of French and British. Yeah. I mean, I saw low on everything except British and French on the server that was designated EU. So I don't know, perhaps during American peak times, does that change? There was incentive bonuses for picking underpopulated sides, though. You get more XP, more loot, etc., more treasure.
I think what it probably is just us and the French have never really over the whole maybe not liking each other.
Well, quite so. I mean, there was a lot of chatter in Nation Chat about, oh, the frogs are coming to Port Royal again. We need some people who can catch them. You know, it was sort of casual good-natured racism going on all over the place.
The sort of casual good-natured racism you can only have after fighting for 1,000 years.
Well, exactly, yeah. I imagine the French channel was full of, oh, here come the roast beef, you know, whatever, but
still don't get that as an insult.
Well, I mean, the upper game seems certainly based around territorial control of the various ports, and there was a very complicated mechanism for capturing a port that I didn't really quite understand. I think it involves, first of all, you have to destabilise the port, and that's done with PvE gameplay, and that's where the merchant people help as well. And then, yeah, port battle, where the area around a particular port suddenly becomes a free-for-all PvP zone. So I skirted through a few of them as I was travelling, but no one either noticed me or bothered trying to engage me. And I certainly didn't bother trying to actively seek out any PvP, because I could barely control the damn boat in the newbie mission. So, yeah, and then ultimately, yeah, you'll flip the port and suddenly everyone who's on the enemy side, who's got, like, factories and quarries and things there, suddenly are slapped with a massive tax rate. So it's in your interest to keep it moving along. The pirates can't actually capture ports, as far as I could tell, which perhaps is why the pirate side wasn't as popular.
Well,
the pirate side, I guess, is just limited to random acts of piracy, yeah. Just
that could be
ambushing and sinking people for cash.
Does that mean it doesn't have an end game or something?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps, yeah, possibly the pirates aren't relevant in the larger grand battle of it all, which perhaps would put people off. It was really hard to tell, really, again, without going off and doing a lot more background reading, which, yeah, most MMOs I've tried over these cheap sheet runs, you drop in there and within a couple of hours you more or less know what's going on and off you go. And here I just was floundering a fair bit because many of the background concepts either were just too complex to explain in a simple tutorial. I mean, there were tutorial bits and pieces here and there.
Sounds like the tutorials failed.
Well, I don't know. How much of this endgame PvP port battle stuff is even relevant to a new player anyway? And if you are going to stick with it and like the basic game, you'll go off and find about it, or you'll find players to tell you
about
it.
Yeah, but you need to sell the endgame.
There needs to be a better manual.
Free trial.
Yeah. I don't know. Enemy difficulty, ? Yeah, I had no idea how powerful any of these enemy ships were. There was pirates, NPC pirates scooting around the open sea near the start port, and I don't know if I should attack them or run away from them. It's quite hard to tell. I think I'm just about worked out a level number, and then I went on a big long journey to a port across the other side of the Caribbean, and was passing through waters where there was level 48 pirates chasing me, and I was level 9 in a newbie frigate, and it was all, I you know, presumably because of the size of the boat, it was bigger than my boat, I'd run away. You know, that was the rule I sort of came up with, but I just, yeah, it was really quite hard to. I know people don't like where an MMO has, here's the zone for 1 to 5, here's the zone for 5 to 10, but just some kind of signposting. I don't know, again, is it just me being dense? I couldn't really work out who I was supposed to be attacking and why, and what I could reasonably expect to get away with. So I don't know, perhaps more signposting. Hard to say. Let's see what else we got. User content, flag and sail shop. Yeah, I was very impressed with that, actually.
Yeah.
Almost totally unrelated to anything else. I found a shop in the auction house where a guy would sell you designs for ship, for sails and flags, which you had made. I gather that you can go to their website, design yourself a flag or sail scheme, submit it to Flying Labs, they'll approve it and make it available in-game.
Excellent.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in any game anywhere else.
Forza 3 has a similar thing.
I think possibly the closest you're ever going to come across is, again, Eve.
And Forza 2.
With the Alliance logos. You're allowed to make your own ones of those and submit them to CCP, and they'll put them in the game. But that's an Alliance. That's like a one logo for about 1,000-player group or something.
It's 150, the limit, before you can put it in, but yeah.
Oh, right, so there even is a minimum amount of players before you're allowed to customise the logo. Yeah, yeah. So
they changed that recently because it was too much effort for all the Alliances which are created and die in a day.
Yeah, fair enough. No, it seemed like anyone can make a flag and have it go through the workings and appear in-game for a nominal fee of in-game gold.
That's
and you can
cool.
put that on your sails and on your ship. So I was just very impressed with that. I mean, yeah, it clearly is a gimmick, but it is a nice idea anyway. Yeah. So let's see, offline resources. Yeah, now, so had a go at the little bit of the economical tutorial section, trying to work out what that was about, because I heard quite a lot of people talking about that, and I think if you pick the free trader on any particular side, that becomes a very important core gameplay for you. It's like the merchant miner side of Eve. I mean, I don't know how much impact it has on the port control and all the rest of it. Presumably, decent ships are made by players, and if you're in a decent ship, you do better. All that sort of thing. It's interesting what it does. It's almost the opposite of Eve. Eve gives you the offline skill training. Well, this gives you the offline mining. You buy and slot a lumber yard or a quarry for gravel or whatever. Those are the two I had. And from that point on, they start accumulating stored labour.
Okay.
You don't have to tell them to do anything. They will just accumulate stored labour. And then, when you decide you need some stuff, you can spend some of that and instantaneously gain X hours worth of lumber harvesting. It will just suddenly convert. So what happens is basically, yeah, as you play, you'll just keep building up this stored labour, and then you can convert that into actual materials as and when you need and when you're actually playing.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, yeah. It sort of has the best of both worlds, really, because you've got the time and the effort still have to be put in to achieve these goals, but at the same time, you don't have to manually be there clicking a mine more rocks button over and over. You have a warehouse where it all appears. I don't know, I just converted all of my stored time into making the worst kind of wood available, because that was the only recipe I had. And then found that I had far, far too much to fit on my ship, which you have to put them on the ship before you can auction them off. And so I just left them to rot in the end. I was tempted to set up try and transfer it all across and set up orders, but again, 14 days, what's the point? But I think there's possibly a very involved and in-depth economical side to this game that would possibly rival Eve. Yeah, you got to produce the items, convert the items up the chain, from raw materials to process materials to finished goods, all that. And then these bits and pieces are all different prices in different places. Different places produce different materials. And you've got to get all these items on your cargo ship through these busy waters where pirate players are out and about trying to sink you and steal your stuff. So yes, I think it could fairly claim to be very, almost of an Eve-like complexity, certainly on the market. I mean, this isn't just go out, find a wood node, mine it a few times, and then then auto turn it all into leather hides or whatever. This seems to be quite a complex and functioning economy.
How do you turn wood node into leather hides?
I don't know. I never studied biology. So I think economic players might get quite a bit out of this. I think, again, that the 14-day trial is not going to be enough to get a real taste for that, though, and I've got a feeling there's a far greater degree of complexity to it than I was able to see, because I was also trying to learn all these other aspects of gameplay as well. I think you definitely want to be a free trader if you're going to go down that route, because I think they get bonuses to the number of slots they're allowed or something like that. But it seems like every player of all persuasions can maintain a token number of basic refineries or basic factories, which will allow them to fund themselves a bit. I don't know what death penalty was like. I died a couple of times, but since I was in the newbie ship, it just gave it to me straight back. It seems to work on a durability thing. I think each ship has a number of durability points, and each time you get sunk, you lose one. And when you arrive in the port, you'll have one less durability, and your ship's given back to you. But then I think you can pay for more durability points to go back on the ship. So, I mean, because I remember thinking back when I was hearing about the hype of it all and everything, I thought, this is going to be really expensive if it's like full death loss PvP. Yeah. It'd be like Eve. And it seems to be much less punishing than Eve in terms of actual loss when you die.
Care Bear, then.
Well, perhaps, perhaps not. But ultimately, you still want people to want to go back out there and try again, so there's something to be said for low penalty deaths if you want people to ever PvP again. So yeah, that was interesting. The offline resources of it all. I thought that was quite a nifty feature, quite interesting. Huge ships everywhere. And what's that? Jumped by a 46 plus. Yeah. Sort of just general travelling around the Caribbean. I don't know if there was some unspoken level-based delineation that I just simply didn't see, but I was clearly out of my depth. it's to do with the Pirate Day mission, which I'll come back to, but I had to go all the way across the Caribbean to this little pirate hamlet. I think it's the Pirate Starter area, which is on, it's on somewhere around Miami way. I was down in Venezuela to begin with, so quite a long, epic journey. It takes quite a long time to get anywhere on this big sea map, but again, I suppose, much like Eve, you know, you want distance to mean something, so I don't know if that's a bad thing, but yeah, I mean, casual travel to the other side of the Gulf of Mexico is probably not something you'll do every time you play, and you'll probably want to settle in a particular area and move about rarely between different areas as needed. But I was just getting chased by these level 46 Corsair cutthroat captains and these giant sort of eight-masted vessels, and there's me and my dinky canoe, basically, with a sail, and I don't know what happened, but it seemed that I've written here, Lobie ship too fast not to flee. I think because the starter players get the very fastest small ships, and the as you go up the levels, you'll get bigger ships which are slower. It means that, I suppose, I don't know. I don't know if there are fast ships at the top end as well, but it seemed that I was always
able... You didn't have to fight.
I didn't have to fight. I was always able to run away if I wanted to, which is good. I mean, it was really tedious, though. I mean, I was in... I actually got caught by one sort of level 30-odd group of three pirate ships, and I just turned downwind and legged it full sails, and off I went, and it took me about sort of 15-20 minutes to reach the edge of the combat area, at which point I was allowed to push the exit button. But I could see that getting very tedious if that happened a lot. But then the alternative is to, well, obviously I would have died if I'd have tried to fight, but you're just going to spend at least half an hour trying to fight these things, even if they're level with you. So it's a game, you need a lot of time to put into this game, I think. It's not a game where anything happens too fast, you know. it's a deliberate game, a considered game. I think it will take time to get things done, time to get to places, time to win fights. And that's not bad, because necessarily, if you've got that time and want to put that time into it. I've written open sea, big exclamation mark. Yeah, that's the travel times. That's the main thing there. I've written, where is everybody? Question mark. I don't know if this is...
Wow.
Well, yeah. I don't know if this is simply an undersubscribed game and just no one playing it, even though it said medium on the populations, or whether something about the design of it scatters people and keeps them far, far apart.
I could play or even instanced. Some areas and think, where is everyone else in this game?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
not in the newbie zone.
Perhaps, but I just didn't find the place where everyone is. I mean, in every game, there's always a place where everyone is. You know, people will congregate in one place, usually the travel hub or the markets or whatever. I didn't perhaps I didn't encounter that main hub in my time there. But I saw perhaps three people in one place at the most. And that includes the open sea, so I don't know. I don't know, perhaps I just wasn't seeing it. And they all were there. Lobie ship not too fast to flee, yeah. Pirate Day mission, yeah. my last session in there, I did give it a go yesterday, actually. And there's a mission where you had to go talk to this... Yeah, there's like a parrot on a perch, and he tells you to go talk to a pirate guy at the pirate starter thing, which was what basically spurred me into this vast odyssey across the Caribbean that took about an hour and a half to do. Got there in the end, and it was quite a fun little mission where you had to go and talk to this guy who's in jail for not being piratey enough, and you have to teach him to be a pirate. There's all sorts of teaching how to behave, how to react to women, how to cheat at dice, all that sort of thing. It's quite a cool little mission. And I got a parrot at the end of it, a little shoulder pet. Your character has a shoulder pet slot.
I'd a donkey.
I'd have preferred a monkey, but an octopus would do. Yeah. So, and yeah, actually, just an entirely unrelated thing I've written here, quest versus mission cutoff. When in history does it stop being a quest and start being a mission? There's a definite cutoff point, isn't there? Yeah. In the medieval days, it's a quest. In contemporary military conflict, it's a mission. What point is the cutoff?
I think
I couldn't work out if these were quests or missions.
When it started being supplied by a financial-based organisation, it became a mission. When you were doing it to help people out for honour.
Oh, I see. So this is a question of morality. Yeah. Oh, well, do write in if you know the difference between a quest and a mission, and when one stops and the other starts. Because I was quite baffled. But
1695.
Yeah, this game this game made me think of that because it did seem quite very much on the cusp, you know. Tabula Rasa, they were missions. Star Wars, they're missions. You know, EverQuest 2, they're quests. You know, Warcraft, they're quests. Well, where is the line? I want to know. It's bugging me. So that's the end of my list then, really. I don't know. It had a lot of charm, and I loved the atmosphere and the look and the feel of it all. But when it came down to fundamental gameplay, it just drove me away. I really didn't like the sword fighting, and I found the ship-to-ship combat to be not that great either, really. It was, one was baffling, the other was frustrating, and that's not really what you want in a long-term MMO game choice. So ultimately, I think Pirates of the Burning Sea is not for me. But I can see a great many, objectively, I can see a great many redeeming features to it. And I think this will appeal to people who tried EVE but don't like sci-fi. I think perhaps people who just played EVE and want a bit of a change. That kind of change of scene and pace to it all. I think people who, I don't know about the whole, is it cool to be a pirate thing, you know, I mean, there are probably better games out there if you just want the piratey life. I mean, I was...
Sid Meier's Pirates.
I was very much reminded of that, yes. I mean, because I've got that and I was playing that extensively, and I was looking at the map and thinking, God, I've seen this map before, I've played this map before, and of course it's the Caribbean, you know, I mean, what do you expect, you know. But I was just wondering if this didn't do them a bit of a disservice. Because I'm thinking back to my Sword of the New World trial, and that basically is set in a quite similar sort of time period, but in an entirely different parallel universe made-up world with entirely made-up maps and entirely made-up country names and stuff. And I'm wondering, should Pirates of the Burning Sea have gone with that instead? Instead of being constrained by, oh God, look, it's Cuba again, why not come up with an entirely made-up map and entirely made-up nations? I don't know. Would that have lost it something, or would that gain it something?
I think it'll lose it something, but it might also gain it something at the same time.
I was just wondering if the historical accuracy of it all was necessary or a bonus or not, and I couldn't really work it out.
So,
Sid Meier's Pirates, very much, I was thinking, that's very similar to this, but that's more fun. You know, the sword fighting was a lot more Errol Flynn, you know, that's more of a two-dimensional thing based on timing, whereas I couldn't really work out what was going on in there. The ship combat was quite similar, but nowhere near as tedious. It was over much more quickly. You can still choose to shoot the sails out, or the hull, or the crew, or whatever, but it just much more satisfying, much over much quicker, I think, which is good if you want to try and keep the pace moving along. And, of course, Pirates has the dancing Dance Dance Revolution Dance with the Governor's Daughter minigame, which this game doesn't have at all.
That you found?
That I found. It may be there. I don't know.
All in all, it's a game where the free trial didn't really do it justice, there wasn't enough direction as to what the hell
I felt a bit
on.
Lost, and I wonder if it was my fault or the game could do more. I don't know. I'm prepared to admit that this is a good game, but not for me. That's the thing. I'll tell you what it definitely is it's not World of Warcraft. Very much most of these MMOs I've been trying during the cheap seats have been... I know the term Warcraft clone gets very abused, and many things came before World of Warcraft, but it defines a particular style of game with particular mechanics, which many of the cheap seats I've done over the last couple of months have all adhered to in some fashion, which makes learning one easy if you know any of the others.
Yeah.
Whereas this, I think this and Sword of the New World both are different enough to cause a bit of a headache if you're trying to come at them from a Warcraft-style game. And that's a good thing, I think. I think it's important there are different games out there. I think there are going to be a lot of people who will like this a lot. But yes, I'm wondering how many of them already play EVE and are happy with it. I don't know. So, yes, not my cup of tea then, really, all in all. But a fine game in its own right, I think.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah, so that's me.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about your thing for a bit?
I guess so. If...
So you were off getting some more
indie
Xbox Live games. Four of them.
I got four of them. What I did this time was I decided to look at games I thought wouldn't be that good.
Oh, right, you're looking for... you're going out your way to look for rubbish ones time.
I look for games which are slightly outside of my comfort zone.
And okay, good.
Also
personal development, look.
And also one which is not really a game, but is indicative of the type of thing you get on the service as well.
Hmm, okay.
I'm going to start off with Azubi's Pool of Bethesda.
Pool of Bethesda?
Yeah.
Hello. What's that, then?
It's a biblical thing.
Right. Nothing to do with, like, Oblivion, Morrowind, Fallout?
No.
No, right. Gotcha.
Yes, it's a biblical reference to a pool which was for healing.
Okay. An unusual choice for a basis
The intro screen that comes up quotes John, which may or may not be a turn-off, depending on your point of view.
Mm.
The game itself is on a grid of 100 squares, and 24 of them have invisible healing angels on. Three of them are archangels.
Right.
Which do better healing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to place a combination of people with the lepers who are palsy, who are blind, have demonic possession, or have a minor illness onto the grid. You have 25 of these, 5 of each. And they're scored 50 down to 10, lepers being the highest and minor illnesses being the lowest.
Right.
Now, if you place one on an angel, you get that points.
Okay.
And the angels are hidden.
Right, and the angel will heal a leper or a person with palsy.
Yeah, and you get the points. Uh-huh. Now, if you put him on an archangel, you get 3 times the points, or to the left or the right of the archangel, you get 2 times the points.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you may have noticed, and it's a single-player game.
Yeah.
You may have noticed that it's actually a single-player battleship.
Yes.
It's with mostly one long ship.
It's basically Minesweeper, isn't it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Once you strip away the religious icon imagery, you're left with one ship-long battleships.
Graphically, it reminds me of Tales in the Desert.
Okay. That's not necessarily a good thing, because I remember Tales in the Desert not being graphically too superior. Yeah. But
The How to Play tutorial is very, very long.
Yeah.
And all the way through it, there's about 7-10 pages of it.
Hmm.
And all the way through it,
too much information.
It's playing a short MIDI loop. A short midi-tastic loop.
Midi-tastic.
All the music in it is quite midi-tastic.
Can you put that on the end of this show so that people at home can hear it?
Maybe. And the overall review of the game I came up with while playing was boring.
Boring?
And the game just lacks...
So it is very much a simplistic sort of tile-based board game for one. A bit like Solitaire itself with the jumpy marbles and Minesweeper, Battleship, as you say. So a sort of simple board game concept rendered into Xbox form. Okay. But the mechanics of the game
Game isn't that interesting, and it's only single player. If it was multiplayer, one of you got to play God, for instance.
I'm not quite sure how that would work, but yeah.
Or you get to play the angels, maybe.
Oh, we'll perhaps take turns to place.
Yeah, and you have two boards, but then you've turned it into battleships.
Yeah, exactly. Is this an existing game that exists with pieces in a traditional board game?
I don't know.
Or is it something someone's made up?
If it is, then it's something which is used by really, really hardcore Catholic...
it's got something of the Sunday school about it. Yeah.
To teach people how bad having to go to hell will be.
Mm, right.
Yeah.
In your opinion, is it actually a religious thing, or is it just that they've chosen to use these terms to deal with the abstract board concepts? Is it trying to promote religion in some way?
No, not really, not at all. The religion is just there. And I think that the concept came from the Bible, but
as easily dress it up in Star Trek terminology, and it could all be about positrons and things or whatever. Yeah, okay.
You could do it with wells and towns, for instance.
Yeah.
Quite easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you weren't that taken with the play itself.
No. Now, it's an expensive 240 Microsoft points.
Really? Is it all flashy? Is there lots of cool graphics to it all? Or
no, it looks like Tales in the Desert.
So possibly not justified then in that
it's
kind
too
of price.
Expensive. There's not a lot of gameplay. There's no replay value because it is just placing down things on random squares.
It is trying to guess at random square assignments. Yeah. Okay.
You could make it better. You could make it multiplayer. You could turn it into battleships.
Yeah.
But as it stands...
Battleships already exist.
It didn't really work as an idea.
Okay. So assuming you're basically picking out ones that don't really work.
Well, no, I picked out stuff which was different than what I thought.
So what we learnt not to do from this game experience, then?
Don't ignore multiplayer.
Don't ignore multiplayer. All good Xbox indie games should be at least 2 players, that sort of thing.
No, if the game supports it.
Yeah.
If you've got a game idea which could support multiplayer, then put some multiplayer in.
Yeah, okay. Perhaps they just didn't want to deal with having to come up with computer AI. I suppose it's all right to just have 2 players, actual players, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. There's no computer AI because the game doesn't allow it.
Mm.
If this is a remake of a specific game,
yeah.
then okay, it's not a very fun game.
It's not your fault.
I wouldn't have remade it if I was.
Fair enough.
Yeah, if it is a made up game, then I would have tried to make it multiplayer and
right.
put some AI behind it because mm-hmm. it just has no challenge. It's just pure random. It is the.
Yeah. When you abstract it out, is there skill being applied here, or are yeah. you just effectively rolling a dice or flipping a coin? Yeah.
You might as well have Noel Edmonds there pretending to talk on a phone.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, so I really wouldn't recommend that.
Okay,
game.
So that's one to avoid.
Yeah. Next, I tried something called Chillax HD.
Chillax HD.
Which is, it calls itself Soothing 5.1 Ambient Soundscapes. Now,
it's not really. Are we getting back into screensaver territory here?
We are back into screensaver. Now, I picked this because it's indicative of the type of things on the service. And as I guessed before I even started it up,
yeah.
it had the same problems that I thought it was going to have.
Yeah.
What it is a photo slideshow
uh-huh.
with ambience in the background.
Okay.
And you can choose between four different types. You've got storm, countryside, sea, mm-hmm. sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And so you put it on, say, countryside, you mm-hmm. get birds cheeping.
Yeah.
Put it on storm, you get rain. Put it on sea, you get sounds of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
All the time with a photo. You know that way that slideshows work with photos now, where they sort of scale into the photo, they zoom in and zoom out.
Mm, yeah.
Off. Yeah, and it does that.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is, the pictures, really not good pictures.
Can you put your own pictures in it?
No.
Oh, dear.
No,
right.
The quality of the pictures aren't that great. They're average at best.
Okay.
So, you know, a picture of a cornfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's made worse by the fact that they've got resolution issues. They look quite jaggy.
Yeah, because these would be photos not designed to be shown on a telly,
well,
I
no,
suppose.
You can make them go on the telly, no problem.
Mm.
But I don't know. I think it was upscaling the resolution.
Right.
There aren't enough pictures,
mm-hmm.
and the sounds aren't long enough to make it worthwhile.
Right.
And the pictures change too fast.
Mm. So clearly, as a game, it's absolute pants.
It's not a game, but as an experience.
Does it, yeah, well, can you divine what sort of function it was intended to fulfil, and how well do you think it has it done that?
It's designed as something you put on and leave,
yeah.
and it did it quite badly.
Okay. Fair enough.
Now, what I could see this working with is as sort of an interactive video for a bit of ambient music, for instance.
Mm.
An ambient musician could make something and do graphics for that.
So you're almost thinking media player visualisation module, really, aren't you?
That would have been slightly
better. Music is the point, and this would be just something nice to be showing while it's playing.
Because nobody really wants a couple of minute repeated loop of birdsong, because it gets annoying after so long.
Quite.
Also, I can just open my window again. We have birds.
I'm just sort of continually baffled by the concept of screensavers for Xbox indie game. Well, just for screensavers for the Xbox. I mean, you are quite clearly bought this thing as a gaming platform. You're going to want to play games on it.
Yeah.
It's not. I mean, the Windows screensaver market for PC may be a better avenue for this kind of thing, but it just seems like a waste of potential and technology. But then, is this more that people are just learning basic concepts?
Yeah,
because I remember seeing your little avatar. Your avatar thingy that you did as an example tech demo sort of thing. Would you consider launching that onto the indie service there for like 80 points?
No, it doesn't do anything.
Perhaps some people aren't quite as principled.
No, I do think that there's an idea behind here which could be made to work.
Mm.
It's just these photo slideshows, but not enough photos. You need music, really.
I think you definitely need to be able to put your own photos in there somehow. I don't even know how you'd do that on an Xbox.
I think you probably can.
Can you upload?
No, they take photos. I think.
Of course, you've got a bloody camera, haven't you?
Well, no, you can
plug in cameras.
You can put them on. There's a photo viewer.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you just you get them off a disk of some sort.
Or you can share them off your PC.
Yeah. So so definitely the ability to put your own photos in.
I think XNA stuff can definitely get at your music.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that...
Possibly even put your own music in there somehow?
You can do that, easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's potential, but...
But then you're getting into functionality that the Xbox already does.
Mm, yeah, you're reinventing the wheel, I suppose.
Yeah. There's nothing in this app which you couldn't have done using the photo viewer in the Xbox.
Fair enough. Okay, how many points?
80.
80?
So it's the cheapest it can be.
Well, fair enough.
Next.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Headsman... Deathlike Silence.
Headsman Deathlike Silence.
Yes.
Okay.
What it is, there's a line of little people, look a bit South Parky cartoony,
right,
waiting to be headed. You're the executioner, and you need to drop their heads, cut their heads off, drop them down into baskets.
Right.
And the baskets are scored 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. The 32s move are at the bottom and move faster.
Right, okay.
And it feels like a flash game.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of flash games can be entertaining in their own right.
Now, this game has a unique selling point.
Yes.
It plays a really, really bad metal video at you. I've written here Eurovision bad.
Ow.
They're a Finnish band, so I know we got some Finnish listeners. If they are...
We're sort of talking Lordy here, are we?
If the Headsmen are actually a big band in Finland, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes, but it doesn't translate too well.
They describe themselves as Gravedigger Metal on their website.
Awesome. Let's rock.
Yeah.
Got off.
And the song has a great line, and his axe puts men to sleep. And I've written after that, like, this song.
Hey.
Yeah.
Ba-da-dum-tsh.
Now, you can listen to the entire song on the free download.
Mm-hmm.
All the pay download gives you is, as far as I can tell, the ability to get a ranking on your score.
Oh, right. Is this a thing you'd want to be seen and known far and wide for having a high score at, then, is it?
Now, I haven't rigged this up so it'll actually play on the podcast properly.
Oh, God, he's got YouTube up. What are you doing?
But I'm going to play some of this song.
Okay, hit it.
I'm going to turn my mic over first.
This is Deathlike Silence, the Headsman. All right.
That's enough for that.
Wow, you weren't exaggerating when you said Eurovision bad.
It does feel like a Eurovision song.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Blimey. So that's going the whole time you're trying to land.
Yeah, you've got that video playing in the background.
Right, okay.
It. And if you get high score, you know,
so when you take away the shocking trivialisation of execution, you're basically what we've got here is a penny drop game.
What we've got is a penny drop game with interactive music.
Right. It's like they came up with a game that they deemed too simple and decided to jazz it up by throwing a whole load of other stuff in.
No, I think it's a way of getting your music onto Xbox.
Oh, this is like an official thing from this band?
Yeah, it's an official thing
band.
From there,
right,
it's not just using it.
So this is the sort of thing you'd find on a far BBB side of their single that you could put onto your computer and play along.
Yeah.
Now, that sort of interactive nonsense.
Oh, I suspect that the 80... points that it costs is just a formality. They don't expect anyone to pay for that. It's a way to get people into the music.
Is it actually possible to put zero as a price for these Xbox Live? So
you can't charge something.
You can't actually do free games with this. Interesting.
So some people will buy it, but you just expect no one else. Lots of people won't bother buying it. Some people will buy your album, maybe.
Yeah.
Now, I like this idea. This is a nice, neat
idea. Interesting, just not sure. Well, the game itself sounds a bit uninspired, and
what I would have done,
the music's not great.
I would have made it a rhythm game.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, actually working into
in time,
into
you have
the
to
track.
Execute people on time with the music.
Yeah, up come the arrows, push left, right, etc. Yeah. When like your Dance Revolution sort of thing, because then people are actively listening to the music because it's relevant to the gameplay. Whereas here, it's just going on in the background, regardless of what you do.
Yeah, I actually looked at it because it was. I was told that it was really rubbish by a friend.
Mm.
But I like what they're trying.
It's an interesting
the game
concept.
And the
game
music
and the, music
and the video. Not a big fan of. But
it's all subjective, isn't it?
I do like the idea of putting a video onto here.
Mm.
And having
using the Xbox Live Indie Arcade thing to promote your single. You're spot on. I think that would be the perfect way to do it, would be to turn it into a rhythm game of some sort, so that the music becomes a part of
it. It just
the
seems
game.
Like a completely missed opportunity.
Sort of just shoved on the side sort of feel to it. So how many points? That's 80?
Yeah.
And you reckon, no, don't bother.
No, I reckon anyone should download it and listen to it and watch the video, because I bloody had to.
So you're giving that an enormously high recommendation because you want everyone else to suffer too.
Yes.
Jolly good. Right, what else have you got for us?
Lastly, I've got a game called Fishing Girl.
Fishing Girl?
Which I decided to pick...
Best superhero name ever.
I decided to pick a really rubbish-looking arcadey game.
Okay.
Because the others were a little bit more...
So tell us about Fishing Girl.
Basically, a boy and a girl thing, I've written cat in question mark, are on an island which splits down the middle, yeah, and the boy's half of it drifts off.
Right.
You need to fish until you can upgrade your fishing rod enough to catch the island and pull it back. Now,
right.
You've got a 10-minute timer to counting down to do it, and each time you catch a fish, the timer goes up a bit.
Okay.
And you've got a target out in the sea, which when you hit, it takes you to a store. Each fish is worth a certain amount. You can then spend it on a better rod, right, different lure to be able to catch bigger fish, get bonuses, that sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's like MMO fishing, but better.
One button.
But better.
One button progress bar. Better.
Two, you sort of flick it out and...
Yeah.
It was actually quite fun. I found myself enjoying it.
Yeah, but fishing in MMOs is one of these really weird things that loads of people spend loads of time doing, and it's got the most minimal gameplay ever. I mean, some of them try to jazz it up a bit. I remember Galaxy's Fishing, yeah, had a menu where you could drag left, right, and stuff. But mostly it is just push button, watch timer, listen for noise, push button again. And that's your gameplay. Yeah.
It felt very much like the Loco Roco, Patapon.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of style, 2D.
Slight rhythm thing to it.
No, there's no thing, but no, it just felt like that sort of slightly out there gamey graphically. Oh, yeah.
And quite stylized.
Looked really good. And actually, yeah, it was fun.
So, well, you can't argue with actual enjoyment, no.
It's 80 points, and I did actually buy it.
Yeah.
Because you can't get very far without buying it.
Ah.
Well, which is one of the problems.
Are these all? They all work on the timed trial system.
Yes,
but that's a universal.
You have
thing.
To buy it to be able to get upgrades on your rod. So the trial really not that good because it didn't let you get very far. But if it let you go any further, you would have completed it. And
well, it clearly inspired you enough to want to actually try the full thing. So that's not bad. No.
Yeah, it's very professionally done. It looks good, plays well. The mechanics are quite good. Mm. There's one big problem.
Yeah,
desperately needs music.
Has it not got anything?
It's just got the sound of the sea.
Ah, right.
A nice little
some sort of backing.
A nice little bit of ambient, quiet music, yeah, in the backing, yeah, would have done well. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. Mm. But then again, apparently, I think every game will be better if you had ambient music.
It probably needs death-like silence to do a track for it.
Now, there's different size of fish in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's small, medium, large.
Yep.
You got your small lure, your medium lure, and your large lure.
Yeah.
And you can get them, and the bigger ones will eat the smaller lure, and so you have to put it in and cast again.
Very much a quick drop-in a few minutes ago sort of thing, is it?
I paid it for about 20 minutes.
7 hours later, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And at the end, you cast it across, catch the island with the largest rod, and pull it back in.
So you completed it already?
Yeah.
Good grief.
That's the thing. It's fun and
but
it's
very
enjoyable,
short.
But it's very short. Jeff Minter said something during the week, either on Twitter or on one of his blogs, I can't remember which, saying that an awful lot of these games that he's trying on the iPhone at the moment,
yeah,
they have a great idea, and all it happens is you get to the end of the level, then it's over.
Yeah.
They haven't actually made the game beyond the idea.
Yeah, you have this basic gameplay concept, but how to develop that up and how to make that become more and more elaborate as the levels go on, I suppose, is a much more tricky thing to do.
Yeah, it really needs a level 2 through 20 or whatever.
And then with sort of advanced things. Gameplay concepts coming in to
also,
make things more
I didn't feel varied. I needed half the lures because there are ones that, catch a small fish and upgrade it. I didn't see how it upgraded, really, and catching medium fish or larger fish always paid more.
I suppose one of the problems with this Xbox indie development type of thing is that these often, yes, there'll be some fabulous ideas coming out of just nowhere, just individuals, people making this stuff, have come out with inspirational single ideas. But then what I imagine doesn't happen a lot is playtesting, extensive critical appraisal of the concept of the game framework. If it's just some guy in a back bedroom just comes up with an idea and makes it, or he's got two or three friends he'll show it to.
Whereas
compared
to
something
well.
Like, I don't know, World of Warcraft, I suppose, you know, any gameplay feature that before it even makes it anywhere near that would go through hundreds
of people.
You have
to show it to the other developers because the other developers have to play it to let it get out.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the difference between indie development and big studio development is you've got a lot more reality checks going on all the way along. So you've got a lot more critical feedback, a lot more appraisal. I mean, yes, that can lead to design by committee, which is a bad thing. But on the other hand, something like this fishing game, which I suppose sounds like it came out of a single really good idea.
The idea was catching the island and putting it back in.
Yeah, and then whoever came up with this idea then just sat down and banged it out using the development stuff without much in the way of, hey, have a look at this, what do you think? You know, perhaps two or three close friends would have seen it and
I think it was
possibly just encouraged them because you encourage your friends. That's what friends are for. So, I don't know. I don't know, though. I think you're going to see a lot of that throughout this indie game.
I do
because
as well.
You've got effectively studios consisting of one person, which will mean that a lot of these ideas will come out of nowhere and develop up in isolation.
Yeah,
and it won't be until they're released onto the network that many people will get to see it at
basically,
once.
My general idea being I don't like levels in games. This game has levels.
It seems appropriate, I suppose. Yeah,
and that's 80 points, and I did actually buy it.
So we like that one.
Yeah, it was
good,
quite enjoyable.
Okay.
But unfortunately, the trial doesn't give you enough time to actually see what it's all about.
Yeah, right. But then at 80 points, that's what? A quid? Is it a dollar?
59p or something.
Yeah, it's not a huge amount of money to have a little look and support further development, I suppose.
Yep.
Jolly good. So, yeah, some good titles for us there. So, yeah, you think the fishing game is your recommendation?
The worst
one of the three there?
The worst one would have to be the Ambience one.
the Chillax HD, we should avoid it like the plague.
Which,
because far from chilling you out, will just wind you up.
Yes. To be fair, I was quite surprised that the Headsman didn't win that one. Okay, should we move on to the Twitter question?
Let's do the Twitter question. The customary rummaging around of desk and studio and cables. And oh, what did I do? It all went black.
You hit the bottom right. Oh. Although
I've never had it entirely disappear before.
You have knocked over my Echo Base.
Oh, sorry. Too much Lego on this desktop. Right, so, the podcast question this week. Champions Online's Twitter notifications are a bit samey after a while. Spice up things with better ones. What would your MMO tweet? This is, of course, Champions Online, which supports Twitter integration, and we don't really know why. Because it can, and Twitter's really hot right now.
Like Uncharted 2 does.
Yes, and so we're starting to see a great many people dealing with Gigaton and dealing with whatever else it is. I've started to recognise some of these missions, and I've never even played the damn thing. So we're all quite impressed with your progress in Champions Online, but...
Please shut up.
Yes. Okay, and so Copperbird. A, it would tweet as my character name. B, it would tweet whatever I wanted it to. I hate automatic tweets. Right, fair enough. Tiger Ears has come up with a number of good suggestions here. Tiger Ears spent 4 hours grinding reputation. Get a life. Tiger Ears broke 5 crowd controlled mobs in 2 minutes. Noob. Tiger Ears stumbled into a world raid boss, pwned. Tiger Ears sent unreplied whispers to 8 characters. No cybering today. Good one. Let's see. Welsh troll. Van Hemlock has obtained the out of cheese error achievement. Yeah, in-game achievements.
Yeah.
Tiger Ears again. Tiger Ears is wearing no pants and in the game. Ah. Shuttler, it should upload an action replay of the moment you dinged to YouTube and tweet the link. Oh, God, don't joke. I can see that
will happen.
I can
see
YouTube integration as well, yeah. You just push a print screen button and it will just upload the last 10 minutes of gameplay to YouTube. Put the whole lot on Facebook. Let's see, podcast question there from Bevis. Member added to Hobbington Crescent. 50% to Guild Beard and Fury quota. Levels of awesomeness increased. Yes, I think we'll be coming back to that in what we're playing next time. But we've got a new member of our illustrious hobbity band there. So we've got exactly 200% more dwarf than there was previously. Let's see, another one from Tiger Ears. I'm not reading that one out. That's rude.
Not that rude.
We've got Changeling Bob. Automatic tweeting is the worst. If you want to use Twitter, you should use it properly. Shakes Kane. Here, get off my lawn. Arbitrary Genius. Nothing automated, thanks. Yeah, it's not terribly popular. There's all this automated tweeting.
No one likes it.
Well, I mean, I'm mine, but yeah. I'd rather hear what you have got to say about the game you're playing rather than what the game has to say about what you've just done, you know? Yeah. Let's see. Oh, has John Shoot there. Has been playing game for X minutes where X is a multiple of 5.
I like that one. It's going to get all the time you play.
Uh-huh.
Just keep digging over.
Well, doesn't your Xbox blog do that, effectively?
No. It doesn't tell you every 5 minutes that you're still playing the game.
Oh, I see. Constant tweeting. Yes. Yeah. I've been playing for 10 minutes. I've been playing for 15 minutes. I think that would be awesome. Let's see. Kirith Kadachi has lost his ship, followed shortly by Kirith Kadachi has been podded. Oh, Eve Kilmail's direct to Twitter. Is that what is that going to be good? I think there's probably a market there.
That'd be useful, actually. I get all my corpse kill mails directly to Twitter.
Naming and shaming. You'd never leave the station again. Sarah Pickle. Randomised language selection. Nothing says you've just earned an achievement like Cyrillic. Excellent. Unwise. Player X could now have spent their time learning 4 additional languages instead of playing this game. Oh, yeah. Some sort of nagging what you could have been doing with your life update status
that
thing.
That doesn't really upsell playing the game.
Epic Dolls. Leela Turkey there. She's sitting by the bank again. Pointed reminders to get on and do stuff. Yeah, that'd be good. PA Smith there. A LFG functionality that is quest specific. Getting ready to do instance X in game Y. Log in and join me.
That's not a bad idea.
Not a bad one.
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah, because I've often sat there and, you know, wondered what game to log into, and I don't have a unified friends list that crosses all games, so I tend to wonder which game I ought to try and log into to catch who.
We tend to use Twitter already for the Lotro stuff, don't we?
Well, sort of, yeah. So perhaps Twitter's a good multi-game platform, come and help me do this boss type system. Let's see, Sentak, podcast question. Player enters a raid, player raid fails, player enters a raid, player raid fails, player breaks keyboard. Constant raid update, that's what we want. Excellent. P.A. Smith, though I don't find champs is spammy once a character gets past level 5, they just need to tone down those early tweets. Yeah, I suppose. I mean, they do die off quite early.
Tell if it's dying off or people turning them off.
Or people have just stopped playing.
Okay.
Yeah, but I suppose this mirrors exactly the Tome of Knowledge stuff I was grumbling about in my Warcraft trial. That all goes mental right near the start, but eventually turns down a bit. So yeah, perhaps don't allow update tweets until past level 10 or something.
Yeah.
That might make it a bit more usable for the rest of us. Let's see, Zozo C, hot photos of character name at spam phishing URL now. Yeah, so I'm not sure about that. But tweet, I haven't seen much automated tweet gold spamming yet, and that surprises me.
Yet.
I have a very low opinion of human nature. Melmothulu, I forgot to put an answer in.
No, he gave you silence.
Oh. See, I wouldn't have spotted that.
No.
Yeah, that's why you're the brains of the outfit, obviously. I see. It's podcast question. Nothing. Excellent. Chemlak, today user killed X mob type with a spoon. He's better than you. Yeah, one per kill. I think that wouldn't get annoying at all. Eric's Cho, Eve times for a skill change for character X. That's not a bad one. Have it notified
DM
you,
maybe.
Yes.
I don't want that going public.
I don't think everyone needs to know that, but yeah, something that would notify you. I mean, you got all sorts of third party apps that do that kind of thing.
My phone beeped before now.
Capsuleer, is it?
Yeah, Capsuleer and Eve Morn.
Eve Morn, etc.
If you're on a PC or
possibly doesn't need Twitter involvement. Let's see, art intelligence would be fun as well. Twitters from my Eve character when I'm not playing, having a great time in Jita.
Yeah, it's just not true because
it's a bit worrying,
be,
really.
Yeah,
your characters going off and doing tweets when you're not actually playing, you start worrying. I think. Elf Troll, Van Himlock is using a x5 XP bonus potion. Buy your x10 XP potion at the cash shop today and catch him up. Yes, I don't want to be the subject of advertising, thank you. Let's see there. Podcast question. Insert player name here. Just got podded again. Says, what's that? Lost Ludwig. Ah, new follower there. So, we got Enlightened One. 1.5, what was it? 15 ISK sellers, 33 macro miners ground into a fine powder today. Unholy Rage wins.
But
that's pretty much all the dev blogs lately, isn't it? We have banned this many people. Hurrah! Johnny G UK, when someone in your group ninja loots or causes a wipe, absolutely. Public naming and shaming, it's the only way they'll learn. Asgar has collected X, where X is a rare item or mini pet for me in Guild Wars, although I'm against auto-tweeting due to it being like spam. Yeah, I think sort of overdoing it can be annoying, but I suppose there are possibly legitimate and useful uses of Twitter. I don't know. It does seem a bit because we can, doesn't it? I think the Champions folks pretty much admitted that was the case. One of their devs came up with the integration during a lunch break or something, and they all decided to go with it. I think it does other networky stuff too, Facebooks and so on. Don't know. I'll have to check one day. Is Mashim. Player name just got ignored by 50 person for being an annoying brat. Oh, yeah. Ackley, poor Ackley. EQ2 has crashed again. This is the X time today. Or, oh no, group wiped again. This guy needs help. Yeah. Twitter requests for assistance. Excellent. Some mistaken there. Warrior needs food.
Yep.
Old school. Geddens is sitting in a station watching his carrier spin round while planning to take over the whole of Eve. Dr. Torag says, Character X has increased the length and girth of his, finger quotes, weapon using Lee Callis Jenkins. You can too. Call, and he's put a number there, which I'm not going to dial. Probably hope it's not real.
There's an awful lot of mashing of the numbers there, so no.
Here we are. The Wolf Inspector is an unrelated thing. Tim, you wanted to know if 5 billion ISKs is a lot of money in EVE. Using it to buy plexes. Oh, that's a point. Forgot about that. Yeah, time codes with ISK is 1.5 years. So, yeah.
That's a reasonable amount of money.
Chap who embezzled or ran off with 5 billion ISKs worth can play EVE for a year and a half.
He didn't embezzle, he invested.
Invested, and of course got banned anyway. So.
No, he didn't get banned.
Didn't he?
No, this is the guy last week.
Yes. And let's see, we got Hallin Craig. Can you follow her there? Dead again, I see a trend. That's what we want. Sarcastic and backbiting tweets from the game itself about your failure to do well. And Jackson92 missed the previous Twitter question, which was about pimping your blog and stuff, so we'll let him through this time. He writes at middleearthadventurer.blogspot.com. Is that com or
co? That'll be com.
Com, jolly good. So there we go. So, excellent. Some useful suggestions there. What do you think?
I gave my answer already in that.
Oh, you did, of course.
Yes.
I should pay more attention. And I don't think tweeting really has a place in an MMO. Just get on and play the game.
And writing down my review of Drake's Progress 2 already because of it.
Fair enough. Right, so what did you learn this week?
I learnt that you can talk for 3/4 of an hour on a game you don't even like.
I never said I didn't like it, I just said it probably wasn't for me. And I learnt that being on holiday is great, I'd have to go to work tomorrow.
Do you want me to do the Twitter question this week if you're going to be on holiday?
You might want to do that. I think I might be near a tweet, I have to check.
I thought you were driving off to...
I have no idea where we're going at the moment, it's all up in the air.
Yes.
But unless something really unexpected and untoward happens, see you next time.
Goodbye.